We begin the current daf, Masechet Yevamos, daf Lamed Aleph. We begin at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, our Mishnah told us a case, which the Gemara elaborated, and explained that if two men get married to two women, and by mistake, after the chuppah, the wives get mixed up. So on that, the Mishnah said, and Reb Chiya explained in the Braisa, that the next morning, there's a possibility that there's going to be 16 Korban Chatois brought the next day. Four by each of the four individuals involved, the two men and the two women. And as the Mishnah had said, because you can have the case of Eishes Ish, each one is obviously married, so the woman is going to be an Eishes Ish. If the brothers, it's Eishes Ach. If the women that were married were sisters, you have a Chais Isha. And if the women were menstruating, they would need this, so that makes four violations for each person, coming to a total of 16 Korban Chatois the next day in the Beis HaMikdash. Now that's where our Gemara begins on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, and asks the following question. And there's a continuation of the theme of the previous two dafim regarding the halachas of Isra Chalalism. So the Gemara asks, Uman Hai Tano, who's the town of our Mishnah, the Islay that he holds of the concept of Isra Chalal Isra, that you can compound that something that's already forbidden can then have another prohibition on it, whether it's through all of the different types, whether it's Isra Kailal, which is an inclusive Isra, as we explained, that the object itself is already maxed out on everyone that it's going to be forbidden to, but it's just being included in a different prohibition that's happening to other things, this included in that category. The Isra Maisif, and that this Tanav HaMishnah also holds of the concept of expanding an Isra, which if something is forbidden on something or someone, then if it becomes forbidden on other things or other people too, that's expanding this Isra itself. And for Isra Basachas, and of the concept of when two Isurim are simultaneously occurring, that then when they both are Chal, that both Isurim will be there, not one versus the other. And that is, as Rashi explains, that is obviously the conceptualization of our Mishnah to require that each one of these four people will be Chayiv for Korban Chatos, as Rashi explains. Since, for example, regarding the case of our Mishnah, if Reuven was Mekadesh, he got engaged to Rachel first. Now, then she becomes forbidden to Shimon for two Isurim. One, she's now a married woman, that's Eishes Ish, and moreover, she's Eishes Ach, it's his brother's wife. Now, both of those Isurim came bevasach as simultaneous, and our Mishnah learns that you're going to be liable for both of those. Those are two out of the four Korban Chatois, so you see the concept of Isra Vasachas. Moreover, then Shimon goes and he's Mekadesh Leah. Now, so we say that Migui, which is what the concept of Isra Kailal and Isra Maisav is, so we say that since that she's forbidden through this Kedushin that Shimon's doing to Leah, not only is the other wife, Rachel, who is married to her brother, going to be forbidden because of Achais Ishtai, all the sisters are going to be forbidden because of Achais Ishtai. So because of that, we say that now his brother's wife, who is already forbidden to him anyways because of Eishes Ach, will also be forbidden because of Achais Ishtai, because now that he marries the sister, all her sisters, which includes his brother's wife, will also be forbidden, even though she was already forbidden to him. That's the halacha of Isra Kailal, whereas it's already forbidden to this person and to all the people it's going to be forbidden to, which again was Rachel, who was married to Reuven. But since Shimon now marries Leah, and now all Leah's sisters, which one of them is Rachel, is included in this Isra Kailal of Achais Isha, so that's where our Mishnah gets that you'll be violating Achais Isha too. So that's the concept of Isra Kailal. Now, however, Rachel is still permitted to Reuven, her husband. But when she begins menstruating, when she becomes a Nida, so then we say another Migui. We say that since that it's being expanding her prohibition that she has, which is not only to all other people in the world because she's Eishes Ish, but it's even going to be prohibiting her to her husband because of Nida, so now you're expanding her scope of her Isser, so then that also includes Shimon to make the Isser of Nida, because that's the concept of Isser Maisa. When you're expanding the thing that's Usser to other things, which in this case is to her husband, that will include all the other things, hence the need that will apply to her brother-in-law, who's Shimon also. And that's how you have all the four Korban Chatois in our Mishnah. You have the Isser Kailal of Achais Ishtai, and you have the Isser Maisiv of the Halacha of Nida, and you have the Isser Bavasachas, as we start off with the Eishes Ish and the Eishes Ach, where they both happen at the same time. So Gemara's question is, who is that holds that Isra Chalal Isser will be in all these mediums to say that you're going to be violating both Isurim? So that Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, Reb Meir. It's the Tana, Reb Meir. Now, Tosafot Shem does point out, as we had learned in the previous daf, that essentially the Gemara could have answered that it's Rabbi Yosi, who, as we proved, holds of Isser Koil, and that was the conclusion of the Gemara in the previous daf. And all the more so, he definitely holds of Isser Meisav and Isser Basachas. But the reason why the Gemara picks Reb Meir is because we learn explicitly in this Mishnah that the Gemara is going to quote, that he says explicitly that there's going to be Isser Koil, Isser Meisav, and Isser Basachas. So that's why we quote him, but truthfully, we could have said just as easily Rabbi Yosi, who also agrees to Isser Chalis in all these three mediums. So how do we see Reb Meir holds of these three to be the Tana of our Mishnah? And the Gemara says, Ditnan, like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Krisis. The Mishnah there says that yesh oichel achila achas, you could have somebody that's eating, consuming one food item, and v'chayev allow arba chatayis vashem echad. With this one act of consumption, he'll be liable for four carbon chatas and one carbon ashem. That is the following case. If you have someone that's tameh, now the problem is if you're tameh and you're eating kadshim with an impure body, that's liability of karis, which is machayev chatas. So you have someone that's impure, sha'ochel chaylev, who's eating forbidden fats, which that itself is a prohibition. Now, moreover, not only is he tummy that is eating forbidden fats, but v'hu neiser, these are leftovers, which that's a prohibition when they're min mukdashin, from when it's a carbon in the base of Migdash, which is kachim. Neiser, when it's left over its designated time, is its own violation. And more that, the fact that it's kachim is what makes him liable to the carbon ashem, which is what's known as asham me'ilois. Because even a kayin, regarding the emum, the sacrificial parts, which is what the chaylev, the fats of the animal, is not eaten by the kayin, it's sacrificed in the mizbeach, even he's considered zar and liable for me'ila on the forbidden fats. And not only is he tameh, who's eating chaylev, which is leftover from kachim, but it's B'yom Kippur, he's doing this all on Yom Kippur, which is a prohibition of eating in Yom Kippur. Those are five violations, four of them being Karma Chatas and one of them being Karma Noshim. That's a Tanakam. Reb Meir, he says, I'll add another one. If it was Shabbos, V'hoitziu b'piv, and then he's, as he's eating, he's walking in the street, Sechayiv, he's liable for another thing, that of Hoitzah, for transporting. But as Rashi points out, but the fact that it's Yom Kippur, that would not make him liable for Hoitzah. That's because Reb Meir holds of what's called Ein Eir v'Hoitzah l'Yom Kippurim. There is no violation of Hoitzah and Yom Kippur to require an Eiriv, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Krisis. But one thing that we see is that Reb Meir says all these three mediums of Isser Koil, Isser Meisav, and Isser Basachas, as Rashi explains. In this case, from the moment the animal was created, was formed, so then it's Chulin, it wasn't consecrated yet. So, however, it's chaylev, the forbidden fats of an animal are forbidden to be consumed, but it's permitted to have anah from it, you just can't eat it. So that's the isra of chaylev. But the moment someone sanctifies it as a carbon, makes it kachim, so then you say amigui, you say that since it's expanding the isra of this chaylev, where up until now it was only asr ba'achila, now it's going to be asr even ba'hanah to derive pleasure from it, because it's kachim, and kachim you can't have anah from it, so then you're going to expand that isser also to the consumption part because of the fact that there's a prohibition of a zaris, of a non-kohen, eating kachim. So you're adding on to that prohibition of the consumption, although there is no problem of the chaylev because the isser chaylev already had the isser chaylev, but you could add on the isser of kachim onto the chaylev because of an isser meisav, because it's expanding it in the scope from just achila to hanah now because of kachim, even though it was already asr from achila beforehand. Now, when it then gets left over its designated time, let's say certain kabbonis are a day and a night or 2 days and a night, so then it becomes nicer. So then again you say isser meisav, you say from the fact that it's expanding its scope of its isser, because up until now it was only asr to people, but it was permitted to be brought on the mizbech, as all imum, as all sacrificial parts are. But now that it's left over, you can't bring it to the mizbech either, so it's expanding the scope of what it's also to, so now you expand it also to the kayin, that it's also going to be not only a problem of eating it, because it's kachim, that imum are not permitted for the kayin to consume, but there's also a problem of neiser now also. So you have two cases of isra meisav. Now, when this kayin, when this person becomes tamei, where up until now he's permitted to eat other sacrificial meats, he couldn't have this because this was the chaylev, this brought him his bach, which is us of him, but he's able to eat other piece of meat, but now he becomes us to them because a kohen tummy cannot eat other kachim meats. So then you say that, again, amigui, you say since that he becomes forbidden in other pieces of meat because he's tummy, so now he'll also become forbidden in that piece which he was already forbidden to anyway because he's tummy, that's what's called Isser Koil. because that's not extending that piece to being prohibited to other things. It's just included in this that he's tummy to other things. That's in one of the things that he's also usher to. So you have this or kail. Then you have the variable that it's Yom Kippur. So then you say another meager. You say that since on Yom Kippur, you can't eat anything, even chulun, unconsecrated foods on Yom Kippur. So in that is included an isser to eat kachem on Yom Kippurim also. That's another case of isser kail. Now, from the fact that Reb Meir, and it's not the Tanakhama, because Reb Meir says that you're also going to be liable for haitzah, for transporting this food item in your mouth on Shabbos, obviously he also holds of the third variable of Isser Vasachas when it's simultaneous, because the moment it becomes Shabbos, there's two Isserim that happen. There's a prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur and Shabbos happen at the same time when it becomes the new day. And there's the Isser Shabbos of haitzah. And he says that you're going to be liable for this one action on these six violations. So obviously, as we just illustrated, he holds of Isser Kail, he holds of Isser Maisif, and he holds of Isser Vasachas, and that's how it could be the Tanav HaMishnah, which, as we demonstrated before, will incorporate all these three mediums of Maisif, Kail, and Vasachas. Now, just the Gemara concludes that Mishnah increases. Amrulai, they responded, the Tanakhama, the Chum responded back to Reb Meir, that Einim in Hashem. You can't count that as an additional one of Haitzah, meaning besides the four chatois and the one ashram we said, because that's not then the same name, meaning up those five are all from consumption. Here, although it's as you're eating, you're walking, and you're transporting, but that's a different designation. It just happens to be in your mouth, and that's how you're transporting, but it's not intrinsically the same activity as consumption, therefore that wouldn't be counted. But however, one thing we see is that Reb Meir is the Tana who holds of these three Isser Chal Issus. But now the Gemara asks, Reb Meir, who has just, we just illustrated, he's the Tana of our Mishnah, the question is, Aliba Deman, who is he going like? In other words, that although, yes, we pointed out that obviously the Tana of the Mishnah is Reb Meir, who holds that in this case, you can have each one violating four chatois, so 4 times 4 is 16, 16 kamer chatois, because of Issel Chal Issa. But the Gemara has a question. The problem is that since these two men with these two women were intending to do Dvar Mitzvah, they wanted to consummate their relationship to get married. The only problem is that, as the Gemara explained on the previous daf, they by mistake got mixed up. So the question the Gemara is asking is, which one of his teachers is Reb Meir holding like, that when you're tarred by Dvar Mitzvah, when you made a mistake in the Dvar Mitzvah, you wanted to consummate a relationship, be mekayem the mitzvah per river by getting married, but you didn't do a mitzvah, and that in such a situation you'll be chayiv, as we're saying, you're being chayiv of karma chatas. Who is Reb Meir going like? So the Gemara says, if he's going like Reb Yeshua, you can't say that. Ha'amar tabed var mitzvah pater. Reb Yeshua is on record in Masech the Shabbos on Daf Kov Lam Zayinim at Aleph, where the Gemara teaches there in the Brisa. He says in the following case, if there were two infants, two babies, that one was supposed to be circumcised on Shabbos, that was his eighth day, and one was born a day later, was supposed to be circumcised on Sunday, to have his milah. Now, the person forgot, and he made a mistake, and he circumcised the baby that's supposed to be have the milah on Sunday, he did his on Shabbos, where that's what's called a tabed var mitzvah. You made an error in what you were trying to fulfill a mitzvah, and you didn't do a mitzvah, because it's not his eighth day yet, and that's not the time for circumcision. And that, Reb Yeshua says, you're going to be pater. So who is Reb Meir going like when he says in our Mishnah that you're going to be chayiv? As we said, because it's a kail, it's a maisev, it's a basachas, but still, they were trying to do a mitzvah here. They made a mistake. But if you made a mistake, so then why are you going to be chayiv? So the Gemara says, Ella, leave it to Reb Eliezer. You have to say that it's going like the dispute of Reb Yeshua over there, Reb Eliezer, who says that you're going to be chayiv, because even though you're taught b'dvar mitzvah, but if you didn't do a mitzvah, then you're doing a violation. That's who Reb Meir would be going like in our Mishnah. Those that say that, no. La'ilam, Alib Reb Yeshua could say that Reb Meir is even going like Reb Yeshua. Now, however, ki kam Reb Yeshua, tabed var mitzvah, pata, when did we see, as we quoted from Masechta Shabbos, that Reb Yeshua says if you're involved in Dvar Mitzvah, but you made a mistake and ends up you didn't do a mitzvah, so then you're violating an Isser, that you're exempt. Hanami legabe tinekis, that was by that case over there, Masechta Shabbos, which was by infants, where you were trying to do a bris milah. Now, dizmani bohol, it's a very tumultuous time, because you have to get the milah done today, which is on Shabbos. You don't want to miss the time. It has to be on the eighth day. So therefore, since you're very perturbed and you're very caught up, then we'll say, okay, you made a mistake, and we can't blame you really because it was a very tumultuous time, then you'll be exempt. Avol hai, but over here in the case of our Mishnah, when it's talking about marriage, kim de'in zmanei bohol, it's not a tumultuous thing that you're involved in. You don't have to go ahead and consummate the relationship tonight. Then you should have been careful. Then, loy, then maybe Bishu would agree to remeir in our Mishnah, that then, even though you're tabat v'amitzah, you wouldn't be exempt, because besides the fact that you're tabat v'amitzah, has to be that zmanei bohol. And therefore, it could be even like Bishu. But that the Gemara asks, but varei truma, but we have regarding a case of eating truma, where the ein zmanei bohol, eating truma, although it's a mitzvah, it's not a rushed thing. You could eat truma whenever you want to. And yet, ukapata, Rabbi Shu is on record as saying that still your potter, it's not like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, that says, hayoichel bit truma. If a kohen was eating truma, the noida, lo and behold, he finds out, Shu ben Gerusha ben Chalutza, although he thought all along he's a regular full-fledged kosher kain, finds that he's the son of a kain that married a divorcee, or a woman that had chalitza dantar, where that doesn't make him a legitimate kosher kain to eat truma. So that we have a machlekes. Rabbi Yezim Achayev Karen Vachemish. Rabbi Leza says, I don't care that you were ta, you thought you were a kain doing a mitzvah of eating truma, but you're still chayev, and therefore you have to pay the principal, and you have to pay the fifth for eating the truma. But Rabbi Shua Pait, Rabbi Shua says you're going to be exempt because you're tabed var mitzvah, even though eating truma is not something that is manly bohol. So how can you say the town of a Mishnah Remei would be going even like Rabbi Shua in the case of when you're not zman bohol? I think Mar says no. Actually, ha itma lo. We actually learned regarding that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas that Amar Rabbi Bar Abaya, he says it is manly bohol because hacha b'truma be'erev haPesach askina. We told Matt that the kohen is trying to consume truma on erev Pesach. This mana bohol, where then it is a tumultuous time because it's chametz, and he doesn't want it to get burnt, which if a few more hours and it's going to get burnt, so it's mana bohol, and he's tabat v'amitzah, that's why Rabbi Shua says you're going to be potter. But in our Mishnah, where it's not mana bohol, you could consummate the relationship in a week from now, so then you should have been careful, and even Rabbi Shua would agree that you'd be chayev, as we see, the 16 karma chatois you have to bring. Now the Gemara says, regarding that we asked to attribute who's the town of our Mishnah, so we said that it seems to be Reb Meir because you have what seems to be Issa Kail, Issa Maisiv, and Issa Vasachas. I think Mar says actually, if you want, you could say that the Tana of a Mishnah is not necessarily Reb Meir. You could even say it's even like Reb Shimon, who, as we recorded on the previous daf, he's the most lenient in the sense of being exempted. He doesn't hold of Issa Chal Issa. He holds that Issa Kail, you're not going to be chayiv for an inclusive Issa. You're only reliable for one. And that the Gemara says actually in our Mishnah he would agree that you'll have all the four chatois for each person. And how do you have that? It's talking in a case where you'll have the be'isr bas achas, where the isurim that are here, the four isurim, took place and occurred at one moment, and therefore it could even be Valibri Rebbe Shimon, who, as we proved in the previous stuff, he agrees when it happens, when simultaneously the isur it takes effect, that there's going to be this prohibition, that then both of the isurim will be there if you're going to violate that thing. Now the Gemara asks, how do you have this? Bishlam Mekulu, I understand all of them, meaning the first three of the four Yisurim that are recorded in our Mishnah. Meshkach Haslu, you could have them to be that they were all taken into effect at the one moment, at Vasachas. How do you have that? We have the Shavinu, that the two brothers went and made a Shliach, one messenger, to deliver their Kedushin to the two sisters. Now, moreover, Bishavi in hu shliach, the two sisters went and they made one messenger to receive the kedushin from those two brothers. Upaga shliach b'shliach. Now, this messenger from the brothers encountered this messenger from the sisters, and both of them are going to be delivering, meaning he's going to be delivering it from those two brothers to those two sisters at the same time, which that at that moment you'll have an iser eishes ish, an iser eishes ach, and an iser chaysisha, because it's married women that are from brothers that are marrying sisters. So on that I understand how you have all those three Yisurim of Vasachas. But how do you have that the fourth Isser of a menstruating woman to be at the same time with the Kedushin? And that is, if the Kedushin was before they became Nidis, so then I understand you'll have Eishas Ish, Achis Isha, and Eishas Ach that came first, and they were Vasachas, but then you won't be able to have the Issa Nidid that happens afterwards because Reb Shimon does not hold of Issa Chalal Issa. And if they were menstruating before they got the Kedushin, so then the other Yisurim of Eishas Ish, Eishas Ach, and Achis Isha will not be Chal. Nothing more says, no, you could have the case of Vasachas with all four Yisurim. Amar of Amar Rav, He says you could have the 16 karma chatoyis because there'll be an isa bavas achas b'sheifas mitoich yud gimel, where they were menstruating, these two women, from before the 13th year of when their husbands were born, meaning before their husbands become 13, la'achash leisha aser. They were menstruating into the 13th year. Now, that's because we need this variable, la'chayuvi inhu, to make the husbands liable. In other words, it's to be to make the males liable, that they all are going to be at the same moment, meaning at the day when they become bar einshin, when they're liable for yisurim, meaning when they become bar mitzvahs, that is the moment when the nida is going to be happen as the kedushin. And moreover, their menstruating will be also mitech shneim aser la'achar shneim aser. It will be from before they turn 12, when they become bas mitzvahs, to after 12 years old, when they become bas mitzvahs, and that's l'chiyuvi inhi, to make them, the females, liable. As Rashi explains at length, he says that a woman becomes a bas einshin, she becomes responsible and liable for mitzvahs when she becomes 12 years and it comes one day into the next year. Same thing is by a male when it becomes 13, meaning one day into that next year. Now, that Rashi explains the case as follows. He says you could have all the four yisurim bevas achas when the males were born on the first of Tishrei and the females were born on the first of Tishrei the following year. Now, that means at the same day of Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, that when it's 12 years later for the females, which is 13 years later for the Zecharim, they're all turning Bar Bas Mitzvah at the same moment on Rosh Hashanah. Now, moreover, they gave the Kedushin, the men to the women, that it should take place, only it should be Chal, it should take an acquisition, only the following day on Rosh Hashanah when they become Gedolim, where on that one day, it's going to be the females, as we said, will be turning 13, and that, meaning it will be the first day into their 13th year, meaning after they become bas mitzvah, and one day into the 14th year of the Zecharim, when they're what we call 13. Now, they started having their flow towards the end of their, meaning the day before they become bas mitzvah, and it goes into the next day. Now, although you're right, they were already a nida before the Kedushin, but they weren't forbidden to the men because of Nida, because they weren't included in mitzvahs before they were 12 years old. And neither were the men bar mitzvahs, because they weren't 13 yet either. So it comes out that the Kedushin and the Issur, the prohibition of the punishment of Nida, are happening at the same moment when it's sundown of Rosh Hashanah, which is the 13th year for the females and the 14th year of the males. You have the Kedushin and the Nida, which, although she was in Nida before she became a Gedolah, but it only will take effect the next day when she becomes a Gedolah and they become a Gedolah, and hence you're having all the four Yisurim happening the moment of sundown on Rosh Hashanah. Now Rashi just says the reason why we said Sheifaz, that they're flowing, is because, although it doesn't necessarily mean flowing, it just means that they already had the Nida and they're still a Nida from before, is because you wouldn't be able to be exacting and to say that they became a nida at the same moment when the Kedushin was given over, unless it was at least a moment before. So therefore we say that, but it was a moment before when they were katana, but when they become a gedola is the same moment when they want the Kedushin to be chal, because they said the Kedushin be chal only on the first of Tishrei. That's when Eishas Ach and Eishas Ish and Achis Isha are taking effect. And moreover, that's when the Isra Nida is going to be taking effect, because that's when they all became gedolim to make them liable in the Isra of Nida. And therefore, you could even say that the Tana of Mishnah is not like Reb Meir. You don't need to have Issa Moisef, Issa Koyel, and Issa Vasachas. It could even be like Reb Shimon, who he's the most lenient in Issa Chal Issa, and still have all these surim because they all happen at the same moment. Now, the Gemara continues explaining on Mishnah that we said regarding this case where the wives were swapped right after the chuppah, so we said that there could be up to 4 violations per person times 4, which would be 16 karmich hatoyis brought. So the Mishnah said an additional halacha. It said, Mafrishan Eisen, we have to then separate the women, although we're going to send them back to the rightful husbands, we have to separate them for 3 months, as we explained in the Mishnah, because we have to be able to differentiate regarding if this child was born from the rightful husband or from this bia that she had the first night with the wrong husband, in the sense of then the child's going to be a mamzer, an illegitimate child, because it was born from a married woman or eishes ach, or all the cases that we mentioned. Now, that the Gemara asks, but why would that be the case? But that we know, v'ho ein isha, you don't have a case of a woman. Now, as the Rishonim explained, the assumption of the Gemara is that we're talking about a besula, a virgin. That's because a woman that was not a besula would be well enough versed and know that this is not the husband that she's marrying. So someone that would have made such a mistake in having the husband swapped would be someone that didn't know any better. So it's the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about a besula. But on that, the question is that we know that a woman cannot be misaberes but be rishayna. She cannot become impregnated from the first time that she ever has relations. And if the case is that we're talking about a besula, so although they were swapped the first night, so we say, oh, you have to separate them for 3 months before they come back to the husbands, because then you can recognize if the woman's pregnant or not, and then we'll know, oh, that it was from the first from the wrongful husband or from the one that she's going back to now from the rightful husband. But what's the point? It was only this first night, and it's not possible to become pregnant from the first time that there's bia. So why can't you send her back right away? So that Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabbi Baravu, he says, you're right, Shebal u'bishanu. Although that, let's say it was even the first night, but they had bia, they had relations, and then they had again. And therefore, you're right, the first time it wouldn't have been possible. But when they have the second time, then there would not have been a problem of becoming pregnant. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, but as we quote on the previous daf, the Reb Chiya taught in the Braisa, he says, from the case we described, where she's a married woman and also his brother's wife and it's his wife's sister and that she's a nida, so he says, Hariken Tezain Chatayis, says that you can get a total of 16 Karban Chatayis the next day because four people are violating four Yisurim. On that, the question is, but the way you just described is, Tlas Nevetartan Havian, there should be 32 Karban Chatayis, as Rashi explains, because as we mentioned before, that the Tana of a Mishnah, at least according to the first Lashon in the Gemara, is like Reb Meir. And we said, who's he going like? So he's going like Reb Eliezer, where he holds that Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, that you'd be chayiv. Now, on that the halacha Reb Eliezer is on record as saying that not only that you're going to be chayiv on, let's say, this halacha of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, he also says that when there's a forbidden relationship, that you're chayiv on every single act of intimacy. As the Gemara later on learns in Daf Tzamed Beis Amud Aleph and Masech Deskris and Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, so if that's the case, so even though there wasn't, although the Chacham argue, let's say, in Reb Eliezer, who they say that if one helem, with one lapse of awareness, which that's what happened this night, where they both thought they were with the rightful husbands, but still Reb Eliezer holds Tabed Vamitza, you're going to be chayiv. But he holds that for every act of Bia, you're going to be chayiv another Karmachatas. So if that's the case, as you just explained, that the first time they have relations, since there's the Besulim, there's the Hymen, then that is going to be rupturing that, but it will not be able to impregnate the woman. So therefore, you have to say it has to be that they were intimate two times. So if that's the case, so it comes out that the Tanav HaMishnah, as Reb Chiya said, should not be just 16 Karma Chatayis. It should be 32 Karma Chatayis for the second time that you're violating four Yisurim. Now, not the Gemara responds, no. Well, Taimech, according to your line of questioning, then Reb Eliezer, Dimachayev al kol koyach v'koyach, Reb Eliezer, who makes the person liable, not just for every individual act of intimacy, but for every part of that maisa bia. As the Gemara later on says in Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph, where there the Gemara brings a brisa and says that regarding this machlokes that we mentioned, if let's say a man has an illicit relationship with a woman, then after he finishes, he has a relationship with her again. So he said, Reb Eliezer says you chayiv for every single act of bia. Now the Gemara is answering that if you hear Reb Eliezer says that you're going to be chayiv for two acts of bia in one lapse of awareness. So obviously, that he would say that even in one act of bia, in one act of intercourse, there's going to be many liabilities, because for every act, every part of that act, there is an individual pleasure of the bia that has its own distinct part of that. Now, according to Rabban, who say you're only going to be chayiv on one, that's because anything that happens in one lapse of awareness only makes you liable for one karma chatas. Now, therefore, the same thing is, even if you have two separate acts of bia, you're only going to be liable for one. But what we're going to prove from the Rabbanan's opinion would be, let's say we had a yediya. We knew, we were notified between not just the acts of bia, where then they would agree you'd be chayiv two karma chatayis, but if you were aware of that this is forbidden, and then you had another lapse, even between different parts of that same act of intimacy, then you'd be chayiv on each individual act. As Rashi proves from the Mishnah Masech Shavuos and Daf Yud Aleph Beis and from Masech Krisus and Daf Vav, where it says as follows: if someone was having relations with a woman that's tahar, then in middle she says I'm tamei, she's a nida, So then, if he then removes himself from the act of intimacy immediately, he's liable for that prohibition of having tashmish with a nida. And the reason is as the Gemara there says, yitzi asai, his removing himself from the act of intimacy, is actually the same pleasure as the act of bia itself. So although for the first half of that maisa bia, you weren't liable because you were under the assumption that she was a tar, and she was, but the moment she became tamei, if you go out with an Eiru Chai, with that pleasure on the Yitziah, we see that we can split each koyach, each part of that act of bia is an individual component. So therefore, the Gemara is retorting and saying that according to Rabbi Eliezer, who he says that even if it's in the same lapse of awareness, it doesn't make a difference, that bias machalkais, separate acts of intimacy, will make a new liability. So then he should say the same thing, that separate koichais, separate parts and components of that same act of intimacy should also be machalik and make a separate liability. Now, the Mishnah, as we said, is like Rabbi Eliezer. And if so, Satuva Habin. So there's much more than 16, much more than 32. There's way more, because in every act of intimacy, there's so many different nuances and kaiches that each one, as we just proved, according to Rabbanan, who at least when you have a new lapse of awareness, would make a new liability, as we see the Yitziah. So how could Rabbi have said 16? What do you mean? Even according to you that you're saying, oh, he should have said 32. He shouldn't have said 32. He should have said way more than that. Elo, so what do you have to say? The Bekoyach Rishon Kachashav, you're right. According to Rabbi Eliezer, for all those Koyaches, you're going to be liable for a new Isser. But he's just telling you the first Koyach, the first part of the Maisa Bia, is what he's counting. Sachanami, so your question is not a question. The Bi Rishon Kachashav, he's only counting the first act of intimacy. But you're right, although there's way more, because as we explained, it can't be from the first Maisa Bia, because a woman cannot become pregnant, and we're saying you have to separate because of being impregnated. It must be there was a second time, and not only that, in each part there's many different pieces, but we didn't mention, we just said the main concepts. You'll have the four Isturim of Eshes Is, Eshes Ach, Achais Isha, and Nida. Now, you'll have that even in the first Maisa Bia many times, and then the second Maisa Bia many times, but it was only mentioning the first Kayach and the first Bia of the two Bias. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, you're right. It can't be from the first Maisa Bia. It had to be that they had Bia two times, because as we know, a woman cannot become pregnant from the first Maisa Bia. On that, Rav Nachman asked, who he answered, it has to be Ba'alu B'Shanu, that there was Bia two times, because the first time is just breaking the Besulim, but it cannot cause a woman to become a Muberes. And that Rav asked, Amid Beis, but v'hatamar, but we know with the biblical figure Tamar, that Bibi Rishoni Abra, with the first act of intimacy she had with Yehuda from the Shvatim, she became pregnant. As Gemara later on will explain, that her previous husbands, Aaron Einan, only had relations with her unnaturally, and never b'isay makam. So therefore, the first time that she had true, full-fledged bia was with Yehuda, and she became pregnant from that moment, as we know from the biblical story. So how can you say that you don't become pregnant from the first time? So Rav Nachman responded, says, no, but there was different. Tamar, before she had bia, before she had intimacy with Yehuda, the etzba mu'acha, she crushed her hymens with her finger. And that is, but the besulim are certain membranes that are there, b'isay makam, and she created it as an opening because she crushed it. So hence, on some level, Tamar was already like it was her second time having intimacy because she already crushed it. So she already got past that. And therefore, she could become pregnant from the first time with Yehuda because it was like she already had bia because of her finger crushing it. Tamar Ritzli says, Kol moyeches shel beis rabbi. All those girls from Rebbe's household that would crush their besulim with their fingers, Tamar Shman, they were called Tamar. Why were they called Tamar? Hashem Tamar Shemachah Be'etzba, based on what Tamar, the biblical figure, had done, that she had crushed her besulim with her finger because she wanted to make sure she becomes pregnant when she has the Maisa Bia with Yehuda. That's why it was possible for her to become pregnant, but a regular virgin, a regular besula, it cannot be on the first time, and that's why our mission had to be talking about that it was Ba'alu B'Shanu, that it was repeated, because the first time cannot make pregnant to require a 3-month separation. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on what we just said, how can you say that Tamar, in your question, Rava to Rav Nachman, that she became Nis'abra, she became pregnant from the first bia she had, which she only had one time bia with Yehuda, but V'hohava Er V'Einan, she was originally married to Yehuda's sons, Er and Einan, so therefore she already had bia with other people. So how can we say that it was the first time with Yehuda to ask the question and say, oh, she became pregnant the first time? And that thing where it says, no. Er v'einan shimshu shloike darkin. Er and einan had tashmish cohabited with Tamar unnaturally, not in the oisim makim, not in the place where the besulim are, and therefore that was never penetrated, and therefore it has to be, as the Gemara explained, that she was be'etzba ma'acha, and that's how she became pregnant, although it was the first time that she had a ma'isabia, ba'isim makim. Now, that the Gemara asks, is that really the case? Maisa, you'll learn the Braisa that says as follows. Kol esim arba chaydish, all 24 months when a woman just gave birth and she has a nursing infant, so the halacha is that we do not make the cohabitation forbidden between man and woman. However, there is a certain dispensation in the sense of that dash mibifnim, which is a euphemistic way of saying that he threshes on the inside, meaning he has the ma'isa bia with the woman, but vizayir mibachutz, which these are different terms used for planting, for plantation, threshing, and then he winnows on the outside, meaning that he doesn't plant the seed inside the woman. Rather, as he's about to emit the seed, he removes himself so that the woman should not become pregnant, because if she becomes pregnant, then she's going to have to stop nursing her child, and then the child is going to die because the child will not have food, the milk from the mother. So therefore, what the husband's allowed to do, is we don't forbid the ma'isa bia, rather he could have cohabitation, but then remove himself before he's going to emit the seed. That's the Rebbe Eliezer. So Amr Loi, they said to Rebbe Eliezer, Halalu ein ele kamaisa ervainan. How can you say that? How can you say that a nursing woman, the husband can have relations with her, and then remove himself to go ahead and be meitzi zera lebatala, to have the seed go and not be have the possibility of having a child? Well, that's exactly like ervainan, who they were also emit seed in vain, and they didn't go ahead and make it possible that a child will come from this. Now, but one thing the Gemara asks from this is that you see that Tamar was already had the besulim, she already was open, because Erva Einan didn't cohabit with her unnaturally, meaning in a different place. Rather, they cohabited with her ba'isa makim, in that place. It's just that they never created a child, because before they were about to have the seed, they went and removed themselves. So that was dash mebifnim v'zari mebachutz, and therefore they were asking Rabbi Eliezer, how can you say that? That's a terrible thing. That's going to be like what Erev Einan did, which they were terribly punished for, as we find in the Torah. So how could you allow this by a nursing woman with her husband? That's their machlokes that they're talking about over there. But one thing the Gemara is asking from is that you see that Erev Einan were not shimshu shloi kedarkin; they were ba'isa makim. It's just they didn't make the zera go in, but she was already open. So why are you saying that it was her first time that she had bia in the regular place with Yehuda? So that the Gemara answers, no, it's not a difficulty. Kimaisa Ervainan, it was similar. The taina to Rebbe Eliezer they had was that it's similar to what Ervainan did, but v'loy kimaisa Ervainan, it's not exactly like they did. And that is as follows. Kimaisa Ervainan, it was similar to what Ervainan did in the sense of being meitzi zera lebatala, emitting seed in vain. So like it says a pasuk in Bereishis, it says that Bahaya in Ba el Eshas Achim, when Einan would come to his brother's wife, meaning after Er died, then Einan married her, he would be Vashikhis Arza, he would destroy his seed to the ground. Now, so therefore, that's essentially what you're doing here also with the husband, with the nursing woman, that you're just having it go to the ground, it's not going in the woman. Now, but Veloike Maisa Ervainan, but it's not exactly like Ervainan, because the Ilo Hasam Shlekadarka, what Ervainan had done, they didn't even go in the place of where the Basulim are. They went in an unnatural way. But Vahacha Kedarka, here by the Menekes, we're told about that it is Kedarka, it is the normal way, but in that sense, it's not like Ervainan, but in the other sense, what they complained to Rebbe Eliezer was, it is like Ervainan in the sense that the Zera is going to Batala, because before he's emitting the seed, he removes himself from the woman, and therefore it's not a difficulty that her first time with Yehuda was the first time Kedarka, because Erva Einan had done Shaloi Kedarka. Now, but then the Gemara asks for the sourcing for this. Bishleima Einan, we know Dechsev Beit says in the Pasuk, as we just quoted, Bishichis Arza, that he would destroy his seed to the ground. Ela Erminal, and how do we know that Er also did it Shaloi Kedarka, that he didn't have normal relations with Tamar? So Amar Nachma Yitzchak, Dechsev, like it says in the Pasuk, it says, V'yomez Gam Oisoi, that not only did Er die, but even Einan, he also died. What does it mean, he also? Afhuba Isa Misa Mace, he also died for the same reason that his brother Er had died, which was that, like as we see, Einan was Maitse Zer Vlatal, must be that Er, his first brother, who he's dying also like him, was because he was also he was also Meitzah Zeh Lebatola because he only had Tashma Shlegadarka. Now, the Gemara wonders about this, that they had done this. Bishlema Einan, we could understand why Einan didn't want to impregnate Tamar. And the reason is, Mishum, as the Pasuk says, Loi Loi Hazera. He knew with this pre-Har Sinai act that he was doing Yibum, that the child will not be going after him. It will be a fulfillment of his brother Er, who he had died, and is going to create a child to be named after him. But Ela Er Maitama Abad Hachi, why did Er, the original husband, have Bia only Shlikadarka, and he didn't have in a normal way that he could have a regular marriage with his wife? I think Gemara says, Kedei Shleita Saber. He didn't want that his wife Tamar should become pregnant, V'yachesh Yafya, and that will diminish from her beauty, because when she becomes pregnant, she's not the same that she was beforehand, and that's why he went and he was Medzel Batala, which his brother also did for a different reason, and therefore again, the first time that she had normal Bia was with Yehuda, and that's the reason for Rabba's question, which Rav Nachman said, it's not a difficulty because she became pregnant because she was Ma'acha Betzba. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion regarding, like we said, regarding Biyash Likadarka having unnatural relations. So we're talking about within the Braisa. So Pasuk Meyuka that says Oisa. Now the Pasuk says, V'isha asher yishkav ish Oisa shechbezer. If there's going to be a woman that a man will lay with her and he will emit seed, the Pasuk says, V'rachat sebamayim, and then they have to go ahead and table themselves in water in the mikvah. Now the word Oisa, Har, sounds like it's an exclusionary criteria, as if it's excluding something. Who's this woman that's going to have to table in the mikvah after having be after having relations, but who is this excluding? So the Gemara says, Prat Likala. That excludes a bride where she does not need immersion in the mikvah because of the first bia that she had to create Tumah. As Gemara will explain shortly the reason for that. Div Rebbe Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. The Chachamayim, they argue, they say, Prat Likadarka. What's being excluded from here of a woman that's having bia that will not require tefillah, although there was an emission of a seed, is a woman that there was unnatural relations. So Amalei Hain, so Hain, who is the name of a sage, who is the Bereder of Nachman, the son of Rav Nachman, he said to Rav Nachman, Lema Kasav Rabbi Yehuda, let's say that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who he said that a kala, a bride, who had the first time relations with her husband, that she does not need tefillah in the mikvah, although he was emitting seed, was because HaTorah chasal tachshit kala. The Torah was concerned about the adornments of the bride. When she got all dressed up for her wedding, she has all this makeup on her face. Now, if she's going to be tibling in the mikvah, it's all going to come right off. And therefore, the Torah had concern about that, and therefore the Torah was excluding with Isa to say, a regular woman that has relations, she has to go ahead and immerse in the mikvah because she becomes Tameh from the Maisa Bia with the seed being emitted. But the Kala, her first time, we don't want her to lose all this makeup already, and therefore she doesn't have to go ahead and immerse in the mikvah. And that was what the Torah was concerned about. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to his son, he said, no, that's not the reason why the Torah excluded the Kala from having tefillah. The reason is lefishein isha misaberes mibirishen. As we mentioned before, a woman cannot become pregnant from the first act of intimacy that she has with her husband. Hence, the qualification of Isa that's excluding her is because she won't be in the qualification of, as the Pasuk said, that when a woman lays with a man, it has to be that it was shechva zera. It was that he emitted seed, which means to say that it has to be able to germinate and create a child from that. Now, this first act of intimacy is not, quote, shechva zera, because cannot create a child from the first act of bia. Now, Rashi clarifies something. He says that if that's the case, if it's not shechva zera, so why do we need oisa to exclude it? It should be, as the Gemara will shortly explain, that everyone agrees that shechva zera is excluding acts of intimacy that cannot create a child, so why wouldn't the kala be excluded from shechva zera itself and you don't need oisa? Now, Rashi says no, because since the act of intimacy that they had was in the right place that was fit to create children, which if let's say when it's done the second time around, so that's considered in the basic definition of Sheikh Vazara, it needed an extra exclusion of Isa to say that, no, there's another woman that will be excluded, which will be the Kala, because that will add on to say that also will not be included in Sheikh Vazara. Now, additionally, Rashi has another question. He says, but okay, so she won't become Tamei for this Pasuk that talks about intimacy becoming Tamei from the Bia when there's Sheikh Vazara, but there's a general problem of any person that touches Sheikh Vazera becomes Tamei. Here the woman, the Kala, is touching the Sheikh Vazera when they're having the Maisa Biyah, and that itself should be Metamahar. Now Rashi says, the halach is that Tumas Besa Sesarim, which means to say that if a person touched Tumah in a concealed place of the person, that does not convey tumah to the person, and since here it was not an open place where the woman touched the zera, therefore that will not make her tumah. And actually the halacha of why bia makes tumah from the shech bezera is not because of touching, it's rather gzeiras hakasav, as we quoted the pasuk before, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Nida. Now, on that the Gemara asks, so b'mai kemiflake, so what are they arguing about? So why, let's say, are those the Tanakh, why don't the Chacham also agree to Rabbi Yehuda that Isa will exclude the Kala because it's not going to be, quote, Shechva Zera? So I think where it says, Rabban and Sarbi, they hold that from the term Shechva Zera, which is a discharge of seed, that's the only time that the Maisa B will create a tumah for the individuals that they have to go ahead and immerse themselves in the mikvah. This is not the halacha of Nido or other things. This was when there was halacha of tumas and tahiris, just having the Maisa B required of tahara in the mikvah. That's prat lahara. That would exclude when there's the initial part of intimacy, where if, as Rashi says, it's a machlokes in the Gemara elsewhere, where what does hara mean? Either means that the man's aver, the member just touched the woman in the Isa Makam, in that place where they have intimacy, or there was Hachnasa Atar, where the corona actually went in. But either way, it's only the initial part of intimacy, and that was where he stopped, where that cannot be Mazriya, cannot germinate into a child over there. So Shechva Zera, a discharge of seed, is excluding Hara. Then Isa, when it says Har, which is saying this woman, but not another woman, is Prat L'Shalei Kedarka. That will exclude when the intimacy was in an unnatural way, because that also cannot create a child. It's not in the place of where the womb is. And therefore, there is no extra pasuk for them to exclude a Kala. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Saver, he says that, no. He says, Shalei Kedarka, Vahara, both of those, Mishech Vazara Nafka. You exclude both of those from that term of Shech Vazara, because when it's in an unnatural way of Shleika Darka, that's not the place of where it could germinate into a child. And also, Hara is also not Shechva Zera, because you cannot create a child from there, because you didn't go and have a full act of intimacy to create a child. And therefore, both of those halachas, Rabbi Yehuda will exclude from Shechva Zera, so he has Isa, he has another exclusion of Har to be Prat L'Kala, to exclude a Kala, which was a bigger Chiddush, although it was in the place of where you could create a child, and it was a full act of Bia, but since, because of the besulim, it cannot create a child, and therefore, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that's why we're excluding from the extra term of Isa, to say that even that will be considered not Shechva Zera, to require her to have a tefillah in the mikvah. Now, Ki Asa Raven Amar B'yechanan, which is related to this topic about being able to impregnate, as we said, the first time of a Maisa Bia, you cannot impregnate. So regarding that topic, when Raven came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, he says, if a woman waited 10 years after her husband had died and only then got remarried, she cannot give birth anymore. She waited too long without getting married. She won't be able to give birth to her child. Now, on that, Rav Nachman, Nachman qualified and he said that we didn't teach this halacha, only if during those 10 years she didn't have a mind to remarry, she said she's done with this, then she's not going to be able to have a child. But if she intended to remarry it, she just didn't until after 10 years, then she could become pregnant and conceive a child. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings a story that Amalei Rava Labastra of Chizda. Rava said to the daughter of Chizda, who was the wife of Rava, he said, Kamarani Rabbana Abasrech. He says that the Rabbana are murmuring about you. And the reason was because his wife, the daughter of Chizda, waited 10 years after her first husband, Rami Bar Chama, and then she got married to Rava, and they had children. So obviously, how can you have a child? Must be that you were mezana, that you had an illicit relationship with something, with someone, because you didn't know you were going to marry me. And if you didn't have intention to marry, unless you had relations with someone else in the meantime, that it wasn't a full 10 years, then you can't conceive, and we had children. So Rabbana is saying that you probably were mezana, that you had an illicit relationship in the meantime. So Amrulay, so she said to him, Ano datoy alochavi. It's not true. I always had my mind on you. And that is as Taisus brings from Rabbeinu Tam, as the Gemara says in the first parak in Baba Basa, of Yud Beis Mabeis, that Rav Chizda had his daughter on his lap. And he had his two big students, Rami Bar Chama and Rava, in front of him. And he asked her, which one would you want as a husband? So she said, I want both of them. And she was first married to Rami Bar Chama, and she was waiting for her prophecy to come true. Now, it's just that in the meantime, Rav was married to a different woman, So therefore she waited, but in all that time she was waiting to see that what she had told her father is going to come true, and therefore she says that's not true. The reason why we're able to have children, even though it's more than 10 years, is because I was waiting for you. And then we said, if as Rav Nachman qualified, if you had Das Le'Nasai, then you could have children even after 10 years. Similarly, the Gemara brings a story. There was a woman that came in front of Rav Yosef. She said to him, Rebbe, my teacher, I waited 10 years after my husband had died, and then I got remarried, and I had children. So Amar Allah, he said to Abiti, my daughter, don't make up things that will create a bad impression about the words of our sages. Because you're trying to say that, oh, what they said is not true. They said after 10 years you can't have children, and you're saying you did. So Amar Allah, so she admitted to him, she said, Lenachri Nivalti, right? In the meantime, before I got remarried, after 10 years, I had relations with a non-Jew, and that's how she was still able to have children. But if one, as the Gemara says, got divorced or had lost her husband and it was 10 years and that she didn't have a mind and didn't have relations with anyone else, then she wouldn't be able to have children. Now, relating to the topic of our Mishnah, regarding this topic that we said you have to wait 3 months because of Havchana, you have to be able to differentiate if who's the child's the lineage from. Is it from the first one or the second one? Which regarding to our Mishnah was if the child's a mamzer from the one that wasn't the husband or from the true husband. So you have to, our Mishnah said you have to wait 3 months. Now, related to this, Amar Shmuel, he says, V'kulan, any woman that has relations with any man, Tzrichis Lahamtin, has to wait before she gets married, Shloish Chadashim, 3 months after that she had beer with this man. Chutz, except Migiyeris U'Meshachreres Ketana, except for a minor that just became a convert, or was freed, which both of them become like a Bas Yisrael now. Now, Rashi explains, although generally a non-Jewess or a maidservant are mezana, they don't have monogamous relationships in the form of marriage, but however, the Rabbana would not geyser by a minor that you might come to have the same halacha by an adult to say that you would have to wait after the immersion of the Giyaris and the Meshachreres to wait for only any time as we'll later explain, because it's not so common for that to happen, that this minor girl will become a convert or a Meshachreres. Now, but one thing that we see is from the fact that Shmuel said, except for a minor Giyaris or Meshachreres, that all these women that he's saying that they have to wait 3 months after they had Bia before they get married, are even going on minors, because he's excluding from those cases a minor of a Giyaris and a Meshachreres, where there a minor is not a problem. The only thing would be a minor, because maybe you might come to do the same thing by an adult that could conceive, but when they're becoming Giyaris or Meshachreres, it's not so common, so there he doesn't have a problem. But Aval Ketana Bas Yisrael, sounds like, but if you're even if she's a minor, but she's a Jewish girl, that Tzricha Lahamtin Gimel Chadashim, then she would have to wait 3 months after she had B, before she gets married, even though she's not capable of having children. And there's no point of differentiating between if it's the seed of the first person that she had B with, or the seed of the second one that she's getting married to. Still, the Rabbanan made a gzerah that it doesn't make a difference. We're not going to allow it by a minor girl, because then we might come to allow it by an adult girl, where then there would be a problem, because then we would have to differentiate. We would have to know who is she a child from the first man or from the second man. But one thing we see from Shmuel is that the halacha would apply, at least by a Yisraelis that wasn't a Giyaris or Meshachreres, even if she's a minor. So the question is, Ubamai, now this minor who is not married anymore to that first man, so we said she has to wait 3 months before she gets married to someone else, how was she removed from that first husband? Ibamiyun, she's a minor girl. So a minor up until 12 years old, if she was married off by her brother or her mother, could do what's called miyun, and she could refuse the whole marriage, and that's how she could remove herself, even without a get, from that husband. If that's how she removed herself from that husband, but the question is, Va'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel says, and as we're going to shortly quote this, that he says, Delay Baya, actually, in such a case, you don't have to wait the 3 months, because there wouldn't apply to make a gzera atu gedayla, because an adult woman never gets removed from her husband with miyun. It's only halacha that applies to a minor. So really, essentially, this whole halacha of waiting 3 months doesn't apply to a minor, because there's no differentiation. She can't become pregnant. It's only because if we would allow it by a minor, we might come to allow it by a gedayla, but that wouldn't apply by miyun, because we never have an adult woman being divorced with a miyun. And if it's v'beget, if this halacha of Shmuel that is qualifying that everybody has to wait 3 months, which is including even a minor, if it's talking about that she was divorced by a regular get, divorce document, but Amr Shmuel Chadazim, the Shmuel already said this one time elsewhere, the Amr Shmuel that Shmuel said, as we just quoted, is, Mi'anabai, if the minor girl did mi'un to her first husband, she doesn't have to do mi'un, as we said, because there's no point. There's no havchana by a minor girl, she can't become pregnant. And there's no atu gedayla, because you don't have mi'un by a gedayla to confuse it. And nasan l'get, however, if you give her a get, then you do have to wait 3 months, because although it won't apply differentiating the lineage of who's the right father, but we might come to do it by an adult, which then that would be a problem. So even by a katana, you have to wait 3 months. But Shmuel already says that halacha elsewhere. So what's he coming to add over here when he's saying, except for a minor gerus to mishachareres, which the inference is, but a regular minor Jewish girl would require 3 months. Why is he saying it? He already says it elsewhere. So Elarab, the Gemara says, it's talking about biznus, that it wasn't through marriage. This, that the minor Jewish girl has to wait 3 months, was that a single girl had an out-of-wedlock relationship with a man. And that is what we're saying, that she has to wait 3 months after that random isabia before she gets married to someone else. And that is, as we continue at top of Lama Hayim Adalv, because Begaz Rabbani Ketan, the Rabbani made a decree by a minor girl to wait, as if to differentiate between the first one that she had be with and her new husband, Mishum Gedaila, because of an adult, where then that would be, if a single girl has relations with a random man and then wants to get married, you would have to wait 3 months over there because you wouldn't know who the child's from. So then even by a minor girl, you have to wait, but not, it's not talking about miyun because that wouldn't apply. And by get, we already know from a different halacha of Shmuel. But however, what Shmuel was qualifying was that, but if it's a kiyaris, that's this minor, then we didn't make such a decree because it's not so common to have that case where it's a minor girl that's becoming a convert, and therefore there, since she's only a minor, you don't have to wait 3 months, but by regular Bas Yisrael, you have to wait the 3 months. Now, that the Gemara asks, Omigas v'in the Ketana Mishum Gedayla, we introduced this halacha of Shmuel, saying, as we just illustrated, that even a minor has to wait 3 months, whenever she has any maisabia with any man, because you have to, even though there's no differentiation, but it's atu gedayla. So the Gemara asks, do you really say that you make a gzera by a minor because of what might come? You might do the same thing by an adult. But what we learned in our Mishnah, that said, we said regarding this incident, where there were four violations when they, by mistake, swapped their wives on the wedding night. So he said that the adult girls have to wait 3 months to differentiate because of the maisabia that they had that first night. But if they're minors, that they're not fit to give birth, then they can go back to the rightful husbands right away. But that, the question is, you just said that we're geizer ketan ota gedayla. So how can you say that you send them back right away? If you send them back right away, you might come to do the same thing with an adult too. And you just said that from the halacha of Shmuel that we're geizer ketan ota gedayla. So Amar Rav Gidlam Arav, he says, our Mishnah of Lama Gimlam of Beis, Hayra Shahisa, was a temporary, was a moment dispensation, which was just a unique heter. You're right, although generally we make a gezer ketan not a gedayla. But in this case, we said that when they swapped the wives and there was these yisurim, that then we said, okay, for this situation, we'll let you go back right away. And that the Gemara asked, Machlal Dehavya, is that to infer that this story actually happened? In other words, did this story happen in the times of the Mishnais and the days of our sages to say that, oh, what's called Hayrasha, for this we'll let it go by without having to wait 3 months? But the way our Mishnah's terminology, it says Shnayim Shekidshu. It doesn't say that there was a Maisa, that there were two brothers who married to two sisters and they would need this, and it doesn't say that. So how can you say it was Hayrasha? Rather, the Gemara answers, Ela ki Hayrasha Haisa. It's as if it was a Hayrasha, meaning that they didn't make a gzeira of ketana ota gedayla, which we usually do. Now, what's the reason? The reason is because v'chilof, the swapping, the mixing up of wives, is lo yishchiach. It's not something that's common. As we explained, it was a real mistake that they made. As we said, it must have been the first time they do besulim because no one would mix up a husband, but it could happen. And therefore, that's something that we wouldn't make on such a far-fetched case, by Milsa Lo Shchicha LeGazav Rabbanan, and therefore that's why in our Mishnah the Ketana could go back right away, and the Gedel would have to wait, and that doesn't contradict Shmuel's halacha that we are generally in the regular case of when it is Shchiach, as we find by Yisraelis, where as we actually find in his halacha itself that by Giyaris, which is not Shchiach, we're not Gezer Ketana Ata Gedela, but by Yisraelis, by a minor girl, we are Gezer Ketana Ata Gedela.